pussy, boys.
Cattleman. A saga of the outback specially dramatized from the prize-winning novel of R.S. Porteous. Cattleman.
Mr. McCready, are you awake?
Now, look, if you brought more of that flame of medicine now, you tell the matron from me I've had enough poison shoved down me throat since they put me in this morgue to wipe out 10,000 head of the best beef north
of... Mr. McCready, please don't take on so. It's not more medicine. You have a visitor.
Who?
Mrs. Arndale, your daughter.
Oh, starve the lizards. I'll take the flame of medicine any day. What does she want? As if I didn't know.
You mustn't get excited. The doctor said
that. Don't mention that blue nose to me. I heard what he said, and I don't care to be reminded of it.
Mr. McCready.
Oh, stop your babbling, girl. Bring her in. Let's get it over with.
Yes, sir.
Would you come in, Mrs. Arndale?
Thank you.
See you later, Mr. McCready. Ring if you need me.
Yeah.
How are you, Father?
Lousy.
I brought you some flowers.
Stone the flaming crows. What would I be wanting with flowers? I'm not dead yet, you know.
I thought they'd brighten up the room.
Well, you can just think again. Don't feel like being brightened up. Strike me pink ears, a man lying here dying and thirsting, you turn up with flowers.
I suppose you'd have preferred a bottle of rum. Well, it so happens I asked Dr. Stewart, and he said you were to have no alcoholic liquor under any circumstances.
What would he know, old bag of wind? Doctors and nurses are all the same. Give a man a flaming pip.
Please don't shout, Father. And is it necessary to preface everything you say with that dreadful word?
I can do a lot better than that, me girl.
Yes, I know, but... Father, I want to talk to you.
Well, what do you think you're doing now?
Is it true Charlie Turner paid 4,000 guineas for that new coat he bought you in Sydney?
I was wondering how long it'd take you to work up to that. No, it's not true.
Oh, that's a relief anyway.
I paid 5,000.
What? For a horse you've never even seen?
Charlie's judgment's good enough for me. He's never pulled a boner yet, and he's not likely to start now.
I suppose it hasn't occurred to you how much Gregory and I could have done with even half that amount.
Yeah, it occurred to me right enough. That's why I bought the flaming horse.
Really, Father, you're impossible. We need money badly just now.
I've never known when you didn't. If that husband of yours spent a little more time in his office and a little less at the racetrack, you might...
Greg's given up gambling. He hasn't had a bet in months.
Oh, are you kidding? Without him to support him, the bookies would be out of business.
Oh, Father, how can you say such a thing?
I can say it all right, and I can mean it, too. I come by Wavering Downs the hard way, pinching and scraping for every square foot, and I made it the best property in Queensland.
No one's disputing that.
Everything I got, I came by the hard way. But not you, me girl. From the day you was born, you've been choking on a silver spoon. The best education money could buy. And all it did was make you cross-eyed from looking down your nose at your betters.
I know you've never had much time for me,
and but... how much have you had for me?
Well,
I'll answer that. If I wasn't worth a few a few hundred thousand quid, you'd have dished me like a dirty rag years ago. I'm not good enough for you and your hoity-toity friends. Never was. I'm just the mug who foots the bills. Well, the chickens are long overdue, me girl. When they come home to roost, you'll have no one to blame but yourself.
Have you quite finished?
I haven't even started. No sense of value, that's your trouble. You backed the wrong horses all along the line. You want to know why? And I'll tell you. It's because your head's so crammed full of lardy, flame and darn notions you couldn't pick black from white. Yeah, if your mother was alive, God...
Let's not bring Mother into this.
Oh, no. The comparison makes you look pretty sick, doesn't it? Finest woman who ever lived, and she's blessed.
I've had enough of this. I'm going. I'll come back when you're in a more reasonable frame of mind. Is there anything you want?
I flame an oath there is. You tell Jane I want to see her.
She'll be in later.
There's something I'll never understand. How you and Gregory got around to producing a daughter like Jane. If I've got nothing else to be proud of, at least I've got her.
You're certainly two of a kind, I'll say that. Goodbye, Father,
yes.
And try to behave yourself. Remember, you're not the only patient in the hospital.
Oh, Mrs. Arndale, are you leaving now?
Yes, nurse. Take care of him.
I will. Bye. Mr. McCready, I could hear your voice raised at the other end of the corridor.
Well, good. Place could stand a bit of livening up.
This time I have brought your medicine. Open wide now.
Oh, no, you don't. I said no more and I mean it.
I'll have to call Matron.
Now, look here, nurse. What say you and me come to a little agreement?
Open up. Come on. There now. Oh, don't be such a humbug. It's not as bad as all that.
Yeah. Rot gut.
Lie back now. It's time you got some sleep.
She wouldn't know. She just wouldn't know.
I beg your pardon?
She's got it in her noggin that life's a bed of roses.
Mr. McCready, what are you talking about?
I don't know, nurse. Nothing you'd understand. Or maybe you would. But not her. Not that eye-minded daughter of mine who judges people by the number of H's they drop. Oh, no, not her. Only she knew the real story. Story about her father. What put him where he is today. Bed of roses. Sure. But roses have thorns. And thorns have a habit of sticking in deepest where it hurts most. If I had the time and the right words, maybe I'd write a book. Just so she could read it. The life of Ben McCready. Big Boss Ben McCready. I suppose it began when I left home. I was just a kid then, ragged and skinny and green as they come. I'd been brought up by my old man. Oh, maybe I should have said dragged up. Don't even remember my mother. She died soon after I was born. And from then on, the old man took it out on me. He was rotten drunk most of the time. And each night when he got home from the pub, he'd flay the skin off me for want of something better to do. Oh, when he could find me, that is. After a bit, I got to foxing him by hiding in the woodshed at the back of the house. I'd hear him yelling for me, and I'd crouch there in the dark, shaking in me boots, hoping he'd pass out before he found me. Yeah. Then came that night when he did find me. He had a birch rod, and he started in by ripping the shirt clean off me back.
I'll learn you to come when you call me, lad. On your feet, you little...
You touch me again, I'll kill you. You hear? I'll kill you.
Oh, you will, eh? Come here.
I'm warning you.
Come here.
I'm warning you.
Come here, I said. Kill me, will you?
All right. You asked for it. Oh. Get up. Get up and take what's coming to you.
So it's a real belt in you, one, is it? By the living...
It's the last ripping you'll ever give me. I'm clearing out, and I ain't coming back. I ain't coming back, not ever.
I left him lying there, his mouth open, his head propped against the wall where he'd fallen. I walked out of that woodshed and never saw him again. 14 years old and I was ready to take on the world. The next morning I went into town looking for work.
Hey, Sonny, what are you doing in here?
Fellow outside told me to ask for Mr. Clancy.
Dan Clancy?
Yeah, I gotta see him.
What are the likes of you be wanting with Dan?
Is he here?
That's him up the end of the bar. The big fellow with the whiskers and the fancy hat.
Mr. Clancy?
Huh? Well, hello, boy. Bit young to be breasting the bar, ain't you?
I came in looking for you. They said you were leaving for Queensland tomorrow and that you needed an extra hand.
Oh? How old are you, boy?
16.
I'll have to lie better than that if you want to work for Dan Clancy. Might as well say 20 and be done with it. Can you ride a horse?
Try me.
Maybe I will.
You mean it?
What's your name, boy?
Ben.
At all?
Ben McCready.
You wouldn't be running away from home, would you, Ben?
I don't have an home.
Ran away myself when I was about your age. Been running ever since.
Do I get the job?
I'll tell you when I see how you sit a horse. You know anything about cattle?
Reckon not, but I can learn.
That's a good answer, boy. We can all learn and we all have to start somewhere. If I do take you along, you'll learn plenty about cattle. About a lot of things. But you're too young to start learning about hard liquor, so let's get going. I got a horse out front. You sit him, we're in business. Oh, there's just one thing. We don't leave tomorrow. We leave today. How's it going, Ben? You're getting the feel of things.
Reckon this is the life for me, Mr. Clancy.
None better.
Sure a fine herd of cattle you got here.
Oh, pretty mixed mob, but stuff handled worse.
What are you planning on doing with them?
Take them over the border, sell them for the best price I can get.
Then what?
We pick up another herd and bring them back.
Why do we have to take them all the way to Queensland? Why can't you just sell them here?
Well, that's one of the things I was talking about, Ben, one of the things you've got to learn. I can't sell them here, because they ain't mine.
Whose are they?
Well, I'm hanged if I waited around long enough to find out. But whoever he is, he sure deserved to lose them. Not a decent brand among them.
You mean you stole them?
That's right, boy. That's me business. Stealing cattle.
I got a shock to learn Dan Clancy was a cattle duffer. It was nothing to the shocks I had coming before we crossed the Queensland border.
Trouble lies in store for young Ben McCready in the next gripping installment of Cattleman, a Grace Gibson radio production.